Welcome to Todi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel, Perek Bet, Chapter 2. There are actually two introductions to Sefer Yechezkel. Perek Aleph, the opening chapter where Yechezkel sees a vision of Hashem's chariot, is supposed to be completely overwhelming, subverting every expectation that we have as readers. And as someone who knows Nevi'im Achronim, and someone who knows Jewish theology, the reader is shocked by what Yechezkel sees in terms of this overarching vision of Hashem. We know that no one can see Hashem, and we also know that no other Navi saw Hashem in such detail. The absolute surprise that is Perek Aleph is supposed to throw the reader off course and force us to approach this Sefer differently, with no preconceived notions, and take the Sefer on its own terms. Perek Bet, Chapter 2, now, is the second introduction, and it portrays a more classical beginning, as classical as Sefer Yechezkel is going to be, where we will meet our protagonist and find out his mission. Yechezkel finally hears Hashem's voice, although even that, as typical as it is, will be unusual and need a lot of explanation. Yechezkel had fallen on his face at the end of the last chapter upon seeing the vision of Hashem. Now he is instructed by Hashem in Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Ben Adam, son of man, Amod al raglecha va'adaber otach, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. The name Ben Adam, son of man, or human, is going to become a familiar phrase in this Sefer, as this is the way that Hashem will always refer to Yechezkel, not by his name, but by his humanness, by his mortality. Instead of Yechezkel following Hashem's order and standing up, Pasuk Bet tells us that it was not Yechezkel who stands up on his feet, but Hashem who stood him up. Vatavo bi ruach, a spirit comes over me, kasher diber alai, as I'm speaking to Hashem, but ta'amdeni al raglai, and stood me on my feet. It is then that Yechezkel hears his mission, although the mission is as strange as the setup. In Psukim 3 through 5, Gimel through Hey, Hashem tells Yechezkel that he is sending him to Bnei Israel, to Goyim Hamordim Asher Mardubi, to this rebellious people who have rebelled against me, who have Kshepanim, a hard face, and Chizkei Lev, hardened hearts, and will not listen to him. We are somewhat used to this type of description of Bnei Israel from the opening parak of Yeshayahu, or Yeshayahu's initiation vision, which is in chapter 6. But this depiction of Bnei Israel is more extreme and raw. Their intransigence is pronounced with certainty that does not leave room for other interpretations. They are not going to listen to Yechezkel. Hashem then instructs Yechezkel to go to them, va'amarta lehem, and say to them, ko amar Hashem Elokim, so says Hashem. And now the reader is waiting with bated breath to hear. What can Yechezkel say to a people who have hardened hearts? What can he say that will break through, except that that's the end of the pasuk? And seemingly the end of Yechezkel's mission. The next pasuk follows up on this theme and clarifies, as it also obscures, pasuk hey, vehema im yishmu im yechdalu kibet merihema. And they're not going to listen. They're not going to stop. They're rebellious people. V'yedu ki navi haya b'tocham, but they will know that a Navi, a prophet, was amongst them. The reader at this point is totally confused. What is the point of sending a Navi to a people who are rebelling and will not listen? Why does Hashem start by telling Yechezkel what he is there to do, even using the typical words of the Navi, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, but then stop and not tell him actually what to say, and why the name Ben Adam and not the name Yechezkel? So in order to help us answer these questions and try to make some sense of this parak, we have to start by figuring out who is Yechezkel's audience? Who are the people that he is going to speak to? And right now we have to remember that there are two communities of Jews. One is in Israel under King Tzidkiyahu, or I should say in Yehuda, in Malchut Yehuda. The 10 tribes have already been exiled a long time ago. So King Tzidkiyahu is the king. There is a standing Beit HaMikdash. The Navi Yirmiyahu is with them, exhorting them to do tshuva. The second community is Bavel, exiled 5 years earlier in Galut Yehoyachin. According to the Radak, the audience of Yechezkel is this community of the Galut, those that have been exiled from their homes and have already experienced persecution. But the people who really need to change are the people in Israel, And this community can no longer affect what happens in Israel. They're not there. The Jews of Israel have their own Navi, Yirmiyahu. He will try to get them to change. The Jews of Babel cannot change what's happening in Israel, and they themselves will also not change the bad deeds that they did. But they need Yechezkel for a different reason, not really to change the bad deeds. That really has to do with the people in Israel. But that reason is, V'yed'u ki Navi haya b'tocham. They will know that a Navi was amongst them. Now, Abarbanel, Radak, and Shadal, they all read this phrase, im yishma'u, im yechdalu, they will they listen, will they stop? Not as they won't stop and they won't listen, meaning it's not, they don't read it as they can't change, but they read it as whether or not they change, which is a subtle difference, but makes a really big difference in terms of the explanation. Meaning the way they read this pasuk is that it is possible that your community in Bavel will become better. They may actually change and stop and listen, but the bad could still happen. The destruction could still take place because it's not actually in their hands to stop it. The destruction will come mostly because the actions of the community in Israel, that's the community that will get destroyed. The community in Babel is not actually going to get destroyed. Either way, says Rabbi Lazar Miborgensi, it was important for them to have a warning before the disaster happens. These people in Babel will know that a prophet was amongst them. They must know what Yechezkel saw in Perek Aleph, in chapter 1, that Hashem was with them in Galut, that the imminent destruction that we, the readers, know is only 6 years away, the Chorban is coming, is happening because of their deeds. It is not happenstance. Rather, it is a punishment. It was not random. And that is what Yechezkel will give them. Hashem, therefore, does not tell Yechezkel what words to say. The words themselves are unimportant. What's important is that you speak with the stamp of Nevuah, with the words, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim. They're not going to listen to you. Or again, we could say, they may even listen to you. But again, the people in Israel are not going to listen to you. But for the people of Bavel, it was important for them to know that a Navi was there. V'yed'u ki Navi haya b'tocham. They had to know that they were warned. And they know that when the destruction comes, it was not random. Rather, it was from Hashem because of their actions. The phrase V'yedu ki Navi haya b'tocham is such an important phrase, both in this parak and in the Sefer. And it reminds us of another phrase that begins with the word V'yedu ki, and that is V'yed atem ki ani Hashem, which comes up, and you shall know that I am Hashem, which comes up in Shmot, Parak Vav Pasuk Zion, chapter 6, verse 7, where it's talking about Hashem taking Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim. And it's, the pasuk says, V'lakachtem etchem li la'am, I am going to take you to me as a nation, V'hiti lachem le'lokim, and I will be for you a God, V'yedatem ki ani Hashem Elokechem, and you will know, there's that phrase, that I am Hashem your God, Hamotzi etchem mitachat tzivlut Mitzrayim, that took you out from under the burdens of Egypt. This phrase, V'yedatem ki ani Hashem Elokechem, and here, Yechezkel is using V'yedu ki Navi haya b'tocham. And he's going to shift this also later in the Sefer, and he's going to say V'yedu ki ani Hashem, and use that phrase in a lot of different ways. But that phrase combined with, in Pasuk Dalid, V'habanim k'shei panim v'chizkei lev, these children, these B'nai Israel, have stiffened faces and hardened hearts, which is a very uncommon phrase in Tanakh to have this, like this hardened heart, sets out this perek in Yechezkel as an opposing perek to Yetziat Mitzrayim. They're almost like foils of each other. The Jews have the hardened heart, not Paro. The Jews will be hit by the Makot and no longer know Hashem. Just like Hashem told them during Yetziat Mitzrayim that the miracles were coming from him and that they would know him through his actions. There, the actions was the punishment to the Egyptians. Here, too, Yechezkel is telling the Jewish people that the destruction is coming from Hashem as a direct result of their actions, and through that, they will know Hashem. At Mitzrayim, the Jews became Hashem's nation. Here in our perek, they no longer look like the Jewish people. Instead, they are goyim hamordim asher mordubi, this nation of rebellers who rebelled against me, and as such, Hashem will engage with them. It's not like he's ignoring them, but he's engaging with them with a strong hand, direct them at them, not for salvation, but for punishment. Hashem's first words to Yechezkel after the overwhelming vision of the Maaseh Merkava, the picture of Hashem's chariot that we saw in Perek Aleph, sets out Yechezkel as a radically different model of a prophet. It seems clear from his Nevuat HaKdashah, from his initiation, that his goal is not really to try to affect change. Rather, it is telling the people what will happen in the future, and most critically, why it's happening. Because you broke the Brit, the covenant that you had with Hashem, that you would said you would follow in his ways. Yechezkel's other difference from almost every other Navi is encapsulated by the action of the second half of the Perek. After giving Yechezkel encouragement not to be scared of the people, Yechezkel gets one more strange directive. In Pasuk Chet, Vata ben Adam, Shma tasher ani medaber lecha. Listen to what I'm hearing, what I am saying to you. Al ti meri kevita meri, and don't be rebellious like that house of rebellion. Pitzei picha, open your mouth, v'echol et asher ani noten elecha. Eat what I am giving to you. Pasuk Tet, ve'er'eh. And I see, hine yad shlucha elai, a hand is sent out to me, vihine bo mikilat sefer, in it is a scroll, pasuk yud, vayifrosh ota lefanai, and it is unrolled, it is opened before me, vihine ketuva panim v'achor, and it's written on front and back, v'katuva leha, and on it is written, kinim v'hege v'hi, three very strange words. Of them, I'm only going to translate the word kenin, which would mean like kino, eulogies, and then hege, and he, very hard to know what that means. Okay, so usually when a Navi gets a prophecy, that Navi experiences Hashem in some way, figures out how to best convey the message, gives it over to the people, and then only in very rare circumstances would the Navi write it down. One example, or at least that we know of, one example is we see Yirmiyahu sends a Megillah, a scroll to Yehoyakim. He conveys his prophecy written, but this is only because he didn't have access to Yehoyakim to speak to him directly. It's almost like sending him a letter. Yechezkel, who, remember, has still not heard what words he should say to the people, is presented with a scroll so full of words that it's written on both sides. We just don't usually see that, a scroll with written words. This in itself is unusual. The scroll usually is the final product. That's after you heard the Nevuah and after you give it over, then you write it down. Not the first thing that a person sees. You only get to the scroll after a long process of Nevuah and then speaking. But then, to make it even stranger, Hashem tells Yechezkel not to read the scroll to see what his prophecy would be about, not to open his mouth and speak, but to open his mouth and eat the scroll. Abarbanel and others point out that Hashem is making the Nevuah part of Yechezkel. He's giving it to him complete, whole, finished. We're used to symbols of mouths from other prophets' introductions. Moshe says he can't speak. Yeshayahu has a coal placed on his mouth, and Hashem touches Yirmiyahu's mouth and says he will put the words in it. But only Yechezkel, perhaps the one with the hardest job, the one who knows he's certainly not going to see the fruits of his labor, is given the Nevuah in its totality, in an unadulterated gift from God. Yechezkel is only a Ben Adam, only a human being. He's not of the heavenly angels that Yechezkel sees in Perek Aleph in Hashem's chariot. He's so other in his vision, and yet it is he who comes closest to Hashem. It is he who has a hand sent out to him holding a scroll with God's word, and it is he who, despite having an impossible job, has perhaps the most important job of all. Yechezkel will be the one who, when all falls apart, and it will, he told the Jews beforehand that this disaster was from Hashem, and it was because of their actions. It is almost impossible to build up from devastation that seems random and purposeless. So while Yechezkel cannot affect change now, it is clear that his very being, his prophecy, will be what allows the Jews afterwards to make sense of their devastation and grow from it. V'yedu ki navi haya b'tocham. This idea is perhaps encapsulated best by the last words of the Perek, what Yechezkel sees written on the scroll. The scroll is written panim v'achor, front and back, v'katuv aleha kanim v'hege v'hi. If you remember, we didn't translate those words well. And on it is written these things. Kinim we know means eulogies like kino. V'hege and he are just very hard words to translate. So Radak takes a poetic approach and says that these three words all explain kino. There are different ways of saying eulogies. There are three different types of eulogies. Rashi, however, explains the three words as each saying something different from each other. Kinim, says Rashi, is poranut shel tzadikim ba'olam hazeh. That's what's written is the devastation that happens to good people in this world. The way that we look at the world and we see the unfairness and the injustice happening to good people. Vehege, on the other hand, comes from higayon, something logical and understandable. And says Rashi, that is the reward that the tzaddikim get in Olam Haba. And Vahi, says Rashi, is the punishment of the Rishon, the evil that will happen to people in Olam Haba. So actually, Rashi ends this parak with that interpretation with a very different note than we might have thought. According to Rashi's reading, Yechezkel is told to eat a scroll that contains his prophetic mission, one that is sent him by God. But instead of Yechezkel's mission being only to tell of destruction, Yechezkel tells of the destruction, true, the unfairness, the injustice, but also of God's role, of God's world, of God's truth, which are things that we can't see in this world. Yechezkel, for a moment, enters God's world and eats God's world and shares that while this world contains unfair pain, in God's world all is just. The tzaddikim do get their reward in Olam Haba, and the Rishaim do get their punishment. It is this approach that will help Yechezkel in the second half of the book, the chapters that are after the Chorban, when he shares all the good that is to come and he helps the community rebuild. This second perek of the three of Yechezkel's introduction leaves us less confused than before and at the same time more confused. We have a sense now of what Yechezkel's job will be, but it's hard to wrap our mind around a Navi that's told that he's not going to affect change. The idea is still very raw, and we will need more time and more prakim to unpack this idea. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilor Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Abraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.